After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." Okay, so 17. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven."
Amazing. Thank you very much. Did we all follow that? So, yeah. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Oh, I keep saying favorite scripture. A lot of scriptures are my favorite scripture. But it's one of my favorite stories because it's a story of... It's like a David and Goliath story in the New Testament. Right? In this case, the disciples were David, right? Physically outnumbered, overpowered, right? This was the first time Jesus was sending his disciples out. And this will be the first time that they'll be trying to do the things Jesus does. Do you get? Now, normally when you are doing internship, your boss will be on ground, Abi. Basically, they'll be directing you what to do. Abi, people that have learned other people before. Abi, now. Now imagine your first job as an intern. Your boss tells you to go and do something for a particular big client, and he's not there with you, doesn't follow you. You are the only one. The reputation of the business is in your hands. What you do will determine whether your boss taught you well, whether the business is a good business or not, right? Let me know his business illustration. So this was the first time, right? And the disciples that he sent out, before this, he had first sent out the 12 disciples that we know. The Peter, John, James, Andrew, Bartholomew, Abby. What are the other names? Who can mention all the 12? It was in the children's church I grew up in. They would have turned it to a prize now. Somebody will win one. This. Ah, you would not grow up in some children's church like. I bet you understand that you grew up in first grade. I've done some, arranged some things for you. Me too, I don't know the 12, so don't think that I'm perfect. I know, but I can try. Some people don't even know 5. Some people cannot mention 5, yeah. You can mention 5. Oh, it's not everybody. In my school fellowship then, they asked one girl to mention the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Leader in the fellowship. Leader, she did not know anyone. She didn't know anyone. They had to tell her to go and to read it before when he retreats. To read it before the retreat ends and to know it. But anyway, it's not like a doctrine, so you don't necessarily have to know it. But at least know the popular ones. So Jesus had first sent out those 12, right? Now, he was now about to send out another set. These ones were 70. So these ones were not his core disciples, right? These ones were general people that just follow him around, probably inclusive of ladies as well, right? All those women that follow him, Joanna, all those. They mentioned their names in one part of scripture like that. So this was their first. So they were disadvantaged. Do you understand? First of all, they were disadvantaged in the sense that this was the first time. They had not done this thing before, right? And then Jesus Christ was telling them to go out, right, and go and preach the gospel, to go heal the sick, to cast out demons and all of that. And on top of that, first of all, what you are telling them to do is like mission impossible. But Jesus now made the mission much more impossible. He said they shouldn't carry money bag, right? So they are not going with money. He said don't carry knapsack, that's bags. That means so that you not store anything inside, you not store food. Don't carry food. Don't carry what again? Don't carry sandals, right? I don't know whether they walk barefooted or whether they just use the one that was on their leg. But every other thing that could give them comfort or give them that could make the journey convenient, right? He took it away from them, told them not to take it, right? Because if they took it, then their trust would be in those things and not in him. Do you understand? Now, this particular model is the exact way Jesus Christ will send you. It's the exact way each and everybody here, from Paradise to Abbey to Chisholm to Deji to Favor to Elizabeth, all of us here, is the exact way he will send you. When he sends you, it will feel like you are disadvantaged against what he's sending you to do. And it's important that I mention this, especially in workers meeting. You know, every time I have to take workers meeting, I don't used to look for Rema. I don't try to do deep things. I can do that one, but I don't do it because it's workers meeting. We need to know what we are doing here. We are here for work. But now it's even more important because Pizak is coming here next week. It's funny how every time he comes back from UK, it's Things Church that used to call to first. Like, I mean all of you. I don't know what people did to him. Like, all the fire that I have been building, I will land it on their head first. Remember last year too? So it was here he came first. This year too, I pity all of you that next week Friday. So I'll go and be gymming. Let me give you inside gist. Can't be gymming. No physical gymming, no. But anyway, don't be afraid. We're having a global, what's that? I used to forget how to say the four of them. Global Holy Ghost Things Night. I was talking to the media guys last Sunday, right? I was telling them that, you see that word, if they said Holy Ghost Things Night is good, we are safe. But you see, as they have added global, I'm not sure if people understand the implication of that thing. Is that a teenager can be sent now? Because we are now global. We are now global, right? So I'm just thinking of the big picture. Do you understand? The big picture is a global thing. People are coming from different places, right? Even outside of Lagos for the meeting. And very soon, I'm sure we'll probably have another edition of it, maybe next year or sometime later. By that time, maybe people from UK church, teenagers from Canada church, will be coming for global things night, right? But truly, another thing about being global is that this ministry that we think is just Ojudu now, it's not just only Ojudu again, right? It now has to do with other countries of the world. You get? So very soon there are going to be things, churches in China, for instance. JITM China. Yeah, his clap is good, though. But also be ready if they say, so anointing as you are finishing secondary school, think it would be best for you to get your university degree in China. And church wants to sponsor anointing. Though it's not prophecy. No prophecy. But church wants to sponsor anointing to China for the sake of the gospel. You know, that's how the gospel used to... The gospel is not necessarily I'm relocating to China to go and preach the gospel. It will most likely happen as I'm going to China for my academics. Eh? Or I'm going to start a business in China. Right? Or I want to marry. And the girl I want to marry is a Chinese girl. That to deal. So you would, Jesus would disguise you. It's like you are undercover. For instance, all of you that are in school, that are in university, you are undercover. Your student's tag is your disguise. You're actually a missionary that was sent to that school. Right? Of course, not at the detriment of your academics, right? But I'm just saying that it's a disguise. You get? And you should think that way too. Like, what can I do in this school? Who needs to gather 2 people, 3 people, 5 people? Let's be praying. Let's do stuff. You know? When I entered UNILAG, I started that. I started praying with some of my friends. Eventually, it paid off. As of my final year, Pizak said he wants to come to UNILAG. They held a meeting in UNILAG that year. 2 meetings, actually, 2 times. First semester, second semester. And it was through me and my friends that we did all the running around, publicity and everything. So maybe all the prayers we have been praying was just for that moment. So you never know, right? So God will not necessarily tell you, go and preach the word in this place. He will tell you, go and do this. And most times when he tells you to go and do it, you'll be disadvantaged, just like these 70 guys. Are we following? So workers' meeting is not, is the era of, I meant to announce to you that the era of workers' meeting or being a worker in Ojodu is over. Or it's coming to an end. That's the implication of having a global Holy Ghost things night. Maybe church is now designing for Newcastle and all. We should start designing for things church in all those places. So it's like there's a commissioning that's about to happen. They're about to make people the global workforce. And that seems like a daunting task. It seems challenging. Right? It seems like somebody tells you to go somewhere without money. Do you understand? Now, that's one aspect of being sent. But generally, besides even Teens Church and all, everybody here will be sent. Everybody here is sent to different places. Some of you are sent to your family, to the families you will start or you will raise. Right? Some others are sent to a particular industry. Right? Joshua, now, it seems that maybe you were just giving in sweet prophecy last week, but you don't know that they have commissioned you like that. It says you're going to be a billionaire. Joshua, now, is sent into that space. The design space. You can say he's an apostle to to the design world. And some people are sent into the music industry. And you know. So everywhere you are sent into, do you understand? Some people will be sent to a new city. Some people will be sent to a new country. Right? Some people will be sent to a school. That UI or that lasso. Or that University of Kaduna that you want to go to. It's not just school. It's that you are being sent there. You see, if you don't go with the idea of being sent there, you won't fully be useful to God. You won't do what God really wants you to do. You just get a degree. Right? So, but I'm just trying to tell you that everything you are sent to do, everything you are asked to do, if you are made the HOD of a unit, or if you are asked to do something in church, for instance, you will most likely feel the way these 70 felt. They told them not to take money, not to take bags, not to take change of clothes, not to take extra footwear. Now, I don't know, but I think that is some major disadvantage. Right? And I said it, that the reason Jesus would do that to you is that he wants your trust to be in him and not in the things. Now, for you, don't interpret it literally. Jesus will not send you to a new location, for instance, and say, don't take clothes. Yeah? Anybody that's doing that one has already entered into error. It's already been mystical. Right? Jesus will not say, don't take money. You need money today. But there are some people, of course, there are some peculiar people too that will tell, don't take money too shall. But you need money, right? You can't go to school now, for instance. Abi now will soon go back to Lasso. You go on break, Abi. You're not on break. Ah, okay. Anyway, you soon go back. As you are going back to school now, will you, if you want to give you transport fare, will you tell them, no, I'm sent. No, I'm sent. You would understand. Luke 10, you do Bible study for them that day. They should understand before you now go to school. But still, for some people, it works that way. I've heard stories of some people that, even Pisa has said his own story, right? That they have transport fares. He just go now. And then the way he said that was so funny. He just met his friend and told his friend, just pay for me, I go refund you when we reach school. The friend paid, and that's how they just kept on going and continued life. So most likely, Jesus will tell you something that is peculiar to you, something that you feel that you can't do without. I can't achieve this assignment without this thing. And he'll say, do without it. He will say, go without it. He will say, go to school when you know that your parents are, even if they want to save from now to next year, your parents cannot see and do that school that you want to go to. But he will tell you, it's time to go to school. He will tell you to start a business when you know that things are hard. I can't even eat. I can't sustain myself in a day, you know. He will tell you to do things. He's always sending. He's always sending. That's his nature. He's always telling you to do stuff. Some of you are always having new ideas. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. He's the one putting it there. And many times, those things you want to do are bigger than you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Do you understand? That will now make you pray more. Because that's your own way of trusting him. Do you get what I'm saying? So, for everything that God has told you to do, or that he will tell you to do, know that it will most likely not be easy. Right? Looking at it physically. But one thing was said when he sent these guys out. He said that anywhere you go, right? Let's read it. Let me not paraphrase. But are we still here? So verse 2, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord to send laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs, carried in that money bag, knapsack. Verse 5, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house, right? And if a son of peace is there. You see, guys, there's something called a son of peace. It's not just, don't just read it and pass. Don't just read this place and pass. There's something called a son of peace. I've not seen much in my life. I'm still young. I've seen many things that God will send me to do. But little I've seen, there are people called son of peace. The funny thing is that sometimes most of those people are not even Christians. But they have positioned them strategically for you. They have positioned some people as the person that will pay your tife on the day you are traveling back home from school. Maybe you are traveling from Ilorin. And it's a big money. It's a big amount of money. There's something called Son of Peace. And I want you to live with that reality. That whatever God is telling you to do, there are sons of peace that you will meet along the way. That will provide the things you need. Do you understand? I know what I'm saying. Right? And I've experienced it. The little that I've had to do, or that I want to do. Some of these people, you don't even... And do you know the funny thing about sons of peace? This is where Jesus messes us up. You think that the son of peace is that your uncle that is working in MTN? That's not a son of peace. That's a son of disappointment. It's a son of great disappointment. God knows. Don't go and trust in that kind of son of peace. That your auntie that has a lot of money. She will most likely not pay your school fees. I'm trying to look for examples that are common to us, right? If you need transport fare to go to school, it might most likely not be the person that you are thinking. Do you understand? Don't put your trust in men. Oh. Men are fickle. Even the ones that promise you might not show up at the end of the day. You say, how much is your school fees? Okay, send me the, what do they call it? Is it payment advice or what do they call that thing that you print out to show your... Say, send me how much they are paying your school. I will sort it out. Some people will assure you and nothing will come out. So don't say, I'm starting this journey. Don't start the journey because you know that I have this person. Remember, Jesus was trying to make them, he was trying to make them the most disadvantaged as much as possible. He took away their money bag, took away their knapsack, their bags, right? Took away their sandal, took away everything that would make them not trust in him. So for you, he might not say, don't carry knapsack or don't carry sandals. That one does not mean anything to you. They say, don't carry sandals, it's not a problem for you. Right? You carry sneakers. But for you, what it might tell you to drop is that I know your parents have money. But don't go because your parents have money. Go because I'm sending you. So do you get? See, people fail. People fail. I have an uncle that has promised me a car. Not now. I'm talking. It was so bad because he promised me when I was a teenager. So my hopes were really high. I was like, "Kai, I'll have car as a teenager." I'm telling you, I was inside this car that day. I was like, "You know, I'm not thinking of changing this car. Self, I'll get a new one. Maybe this one I will just give you." That was what I said, and I held that thing. Kai. I wanted to say I'm still holding it to today, but I'm not holding it again. I dropped it. Some people promise that. Don't worry. It's settled. Just hold on to God. Don't tell them that it's a lie, but just hold on to God, right? So they said that there's a son of peace in every house. That son of peace is most likely not who you are thinking about. Because if it's the person you are thinking about, then you are back to the place of trusting in the things that Jesus said they should drop. Do you understand? But there are people, they are strange people. They are strange people. Funny thing is that some of them might even be angels in human form. You can never tell. Hebrews was talking about how you should not be you should not forget to entertain strangers. By so doing, some people have unknowingly entertained angels. Right? It could be somebody that you were not even expecting or that you didn't even know about. But there are sons of peace. for whatever God is telling you to do. Go knowing that there are people that he has placed for your well-being. So do you understand? So the next phase God is leading us into, for instance, like when anointing moves now to China, for instance, you know that there are sons of peace there. You're thinking that in China, who will know me in China? In fact, you might go to, God might send you to China, right? And you think that when I go to China, it's a Nigerian in China that will help me. They will mess. They will mess. You know what faith does? Faith will take you to the end of yourself. You get to a point where you sit down on the ground and put your hand on your head and say, God, help me. You have exhausted all your options. You've tried everything. How many of you have been there? You have tried everything possible. You need money for a certain thing. There's nothing you have not done. You have asked people. You have stylishly mentioned it in conversation. You have prayed to God that God should touch this person's heart. God should touch this person's heart. So speak. God will now go and use the place that. How will this person help me? But that's what he does. And those are his sons of peace for you. So you'll be thinking that maybe it's a Nigerian that is living in China that will help me because, you know, I'm Nigerian. You are Nigerian now. Maybe you're a Yoruba boy. If you now see a Yoruba person in China, you're like, thank God, I've met my brother. This is the person that will help me. Eh? But it might be Jane Chine. It might be the one that will give you a house, that will give you a car, that will give you everything you need. I had the story of one pastor. I can't remember his name, and even if I remember, there's no reason to mention. But I heard the story that they gave him land in America. Was it in America also? But they gave him land. Like, this is not just one plot of land, though. Like, this is an estate. When you're talking about estates, that has ranch, that has all, everything inside. He didn't do anything. He didn't lobby. God just orchestrated things, right? The person gave him. The person gave him at the rate of, I hope I'm remembering the story right, whether either $5 or $10. Why did he put money? He said, I need to put money so that when the authorities, when they are looking into it, they will know that there was a transaction that took place. It's so that they will know that it was not fraud. Do you understand? Because if the authority, how did you get this land? He sold it to my. No, they don't understand sowing and reaping. It's with that he's a Christian. So he said, let there shall be money to show that you paid for it. I said, buy it at $5. Son of peace. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. Most times, your son of peace will not show up until you have exhausted all your strength. He wants you to get to that point where you know that, this thing is not possible. this is not possible. I cannot do it. When you get to that point, that's where Jesus Christ got to. And he was saying, Lord, let this cup pass over me. He said, but not my will, but your will. At that point, he had handed over everything. God will not pick it up from there and send somebody. So do you understand? So go with this mindset. There are people that he has placed strategically. And what are they going to do? He said, say to it, verse 6 says, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. So that means you too, you are a son of peace. Right? So they are not helping you because you are the helped or you are the weak. It's that you are a son of peace. So son of peace is meeting son of peace. Do you understand? So it's not like they are helping the needy. It's that he's fulfilling the will of God. So when the son of peace is helping you, it's not that he's helping the needy. It's that he's doing it and he's telling God, thank you. I can't forget. One of the first times someone gave me something in church actually. Someone gave me something. And that shifted my That was the first time I've ever seen someone. The person gave me the thing. And he said, thank you. So there was a way I think he said thank you, was thanking me. I was like, no, nah, it's supposed to be the reverse. I'm the one supposed to be on my knees right now. I'm saying, you have done me well. But the man gave me, the pastor actually, and he gave me the thing and said thank you. I was like, which kind of strange people are in this church safe? I've never seen that kind. You give somebody something and you are thanking. It's like he was thanking me for the privilege of, that he was privileged to give me. It's like, God. That day, my mind shifted to another place. I said, okay, this is now how to give. That you give, not because somebody needs something, but because it's the will of God for you to give it. Do you understand? So that's what, those are your sons of peace, right? And what would they do? Sorry, let me open up my... your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Verse 7, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. Can you imagine? Jesus said, just they chill for the house. Just they lounge. Say, eat anything they give you. Eat and don't be humble. Don't use humility to drive away your helper. They say, can you manage? They say, no, you shouldn't have bothered. Jesus said, bother. Jesus said, bother. You know, some of us can be very humble like that. They want to give you money. Mommy, no now. Jesus said, my daughter called too. This is your last card. This is what will help you go home. Say, collect it. Do you understand? Say, eat whatever things that they give you. Eating and drinking, so both food and drinks, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. So this is why you are not the needy. Is that you are a laborer. In fact, there is honorarium. They are so, as far as they sent you, whatever they are giving you on the way is like honorarium. It's like they are honoring God's servants. It's like you are a missionary that they are giving to. In fact, the person that it's a blessing for, it's not you. It's the person that is giving to you, that is trying to receive a blessing. As far as you go as liberal, you are sent to that school, to that family, to that city. Whatever city you enter, verse 8, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. This one, they say they will set it. It's buffet. As a set. There's good life, but it's for laborers. Eat such things as I said before you. Heal the sick there, right? And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say the very dust, the city which clings off. So that's judgment, right? So you also have the ability to even judge a city or a place that did not receive you, right? It will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So that was before Jesus Christ sent them. So he sent them. They went out blindly by faith, right? They went out. It's just like when maybe a military operation is going on. You are flying a plane or a seal or what they call those guys. Is flying a plane and he doesn't know where he's going, so they are just directing him from the control tower, right? So this was how they went out, without anything that could give them advantage. And that's also how you will go out. Do you understand? So this was before they went. So they didn't know what they were going to expect. So when they came back, they were so excited, because it was like they went out expecting this. When they went out, this happened. So in verse 17, you now see that the 70 returned with joy. They returned with joy. And this will always be the end of that thing God is telling you to do. That thing God is telling you to do is not difficult and it's not impossible. It's that at the end, you will rejoice over it. So whenever you start, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set ahead, he endured the cross and despised the shame. They didn't say he endured the cross and despised the shame so that he will not receive the joy. It's that before he even started out for the joy, he has seen the joy ahead. So that thing that you are asked to do, you need to see the end of it. One of the things I always tell myself when I'm going through an issue, and I've not even, God is still maturing me, I'm still growing. I wish to get there. When I'm going through a trial, for instance, maybe I don't have money or maybe I'm trying to do a big project. I used to ask myself that, the day I want to testify about this thing, how do I want to give that testimony? Will I come up here and say, at some point I lost hope. I was crying. I was saying there's no God again. That God is not helping me. Is that what I want to say? This might be maybe it's part of my ego, it's part of my pride or anything. But I take pride in when you can come out and give a testimony and say that my faith did not waver for once. That's a big deal. And people have done it here. People have stood here to say it. So I'm like, we have people in the church, in the same church that have done it. So what's my own problem? Why am I crying? So whenever things come, I'm like, how do I want to give the testimony of this thing? When I reached that deadlock and they said there's no road here again, what did I do? The day I'm giving the testimony, will I tell them that when I reached that dead end, I just went to my room and I was dancing, I was praising, I was just shouting and jumping and screaming? Or will I tell them that I cried my eyes out? Or I lost all hope? So are we together? So God is sending us out. And like I said, much more so now, right? We're having a global Holy Ghost since night. I said it before that if it was just Holy Ghost since night, it's good. See, last year, Babi came, it was, what are you doing? Babi did not put global, what are you doing? He says, it's just, what are you doing, right? So now he's trying to tell us what we should do. And now it's now global Holy Ghost since night. And the fact that they are adding global is that you are shifting into another gear. So get ready to become the new global things workforce. That's the implication here. HOD Usher. You are now HOD Usher of the globe. Of Things Church, of GRTM in the world. HOD Light Army. Is that HOD of Light Army in the world? Do you understand? So it's a higher assignment. It's a higher thing. And it will look daunting, it will look challenging, it will look like somebody telling you to go out without money bag. But in the end, you will come back rejoicing. So think of the harvest. Think of the joy at the end. Think of what this can morph into. Think of what a global teens ministry can look like. Think of you being sent. As at now, you should start having that mindset that I can't be. Do you know some of the people that have gone to school, for instance, and were sponsored by church to go to school, know that it's as good as saying church sends them to that school. Maybe church sends them to OAU. Church sponsored scholarship. Eh? As a teenager to go to OAU. It can also happen that maybe church needs a teen's church in France. A church say, your own school is not OAU. It's you that know that OAU is in Nigeria and is abroad. For God, it's not abroad. It's that it's just another school they are sending you to. So they can say, let's send Shola there. Shola will go and be schooling. And Shola has been trained well enough to know that I don't just come here for book alone. I will get this degree, but there's also an agenda. Everything you are doing, do it with an agenda, as if there's an agenda for God. That's how to go as a laborer. And when you go as a laborer, it's not that you are there waiting for church to be funding you. It's not like church is bankrolling you there. It's that you are going there to go and meet sons of peace. They are sons of peace already waiting, and they are not who you are expecting. It's not that your auntie that traveled to France 5 years ago that will help you. It's probably people you have never met before. There's probably somebody there that is ready to, doesn't know what to do with his business again, multi-million-dollar business. And he just sees your face and he likes you and he says you will have it. Those are the possibilities that should be in your mind. Because Jesus says that there will surely be sons of peace. So do we understand? So you are sent. It may look disadvantaged, but there is joy in the end. Are we together? Prayer.
Can we just rise up and respond to the word of it? Oh, Lord,